I have always been intrigued and amazed at the wise men. Last week on Thursday, many of you know that I took a quick trip home to be with my dad. He had some medical problems, and they seemed pretty serious, and so I went home last Thursday, and we were together Thursday evening and Friday morning, and Joy had come over earlier in the week, and they had put up the Christmas tree and had put up all the decorations that usually Dad puts out for Christmas time, and we were sitting there and looking at the tree and enjoying it, and I just came across me all of a sudden, "Dad, where are the camels? Where are the camels?" Because when I grew up, Christmas, part of Christmas was thinking about the wise men and those camels that we had in our house as children. And when I would see those camels as a little boy, my imagination, boy, I dreamed about what it was like for those wise men, those magi, to come in the story, traveling many, many months. There's far more about the wise men that we just speculate about and know about than we understand and know about, but we do know that they spent a long time and they were coming to seek the one that God had given to them. They offer a picture to us, those wise men do, of royalty and wealth and knowledge and kind of those things that we as children maybe dream about and think about. I've always been amazed at the wise men. I know they're called magi by many, and depending what translation you read from, and even some have called them the kings of the Orient, and we sing about the kings sometimes, but whoever they were and wherever they were from and whatever they represent, they're amazing characters that God gives us in the Christmas story to draw us to something real and true about the amazing hand of God. I suppose I have liked the term wise men the best because to me, wise is exactly who these people were. They were wise because they were people who had heard and seen God act, and they wanted to respond to that. They wanted God's very best. And as far as we know, these men were not men who had been in Israel before. They were not Jewish. They did not worship the God of the Jews like they did. But yet somehow God put something in the sky that quickened their hearts and turned them. And so they came to find what God had given to them. I think of so many things that stand out to me about the specialness of the wise men. The first thing to me is how hungry they must have been for truth, how hungry they were to hear and to see the reality of God who is real. And though they probably worshiped gods where they were from, there was an inner sense deep within them to know something deeper and to know the God that was real, the God that was the creator. And so they were hungry and they were willing to go a long distance. They were willing to give up so much in order to find what God had given to them. I think about how open and receptive to God they must have been. How the wise men in many ways demonstrate a spirit, an attitude, a way of thinking that even now today for us, it'd be great for us to remember and to hold on. And one of them is how open and receptive they were to God. I mean, they were not from Israel. They did not worship Israel's God, but yet inside of them there was a longing and a desire to be connected to God. And God knew that, and God cared about that, and God spoke to them. If you seek God's Spirit and you ask God to speak to you, I believe that God will do that. God did it then, and God will do it now. Here were these wise men, these people who were open and receptive to what God wanted to say to them, and God rewarded them in an incredible way. These men, I'm sure, had plenty to do, but yet they were not too busy in order to stop and listen, to stop and look up, and to see the stars and see what God was telling them and showing them, this incredible star, this incredible appearance of something that got their hearts and got their attention and drew them to God himself. Think of all the things that they could be distracted by and all the things that they needed to let go and set down and leave behind as they made that long journey across the desert, the wilderness, and all the way to the place where the star took them. Matthew chapter 2, verse 22 tells us and speaks to us, or verse 2 does, about this journey. It says, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." They came with hearts that were open. They came with hearts that were hungry. They came with hearts that were seeking, saying, "God, you have something to say to me." And I believe in 2018 that each one of us are designed with a need and a desire on the inside of our hearts to connect with that same God. Somehow, if we slow down enough and we stop enough and we step back enough and we realize that there's a lot more to this life than just the things around us and the things in our life and the possessions and even the people and the relationships, that we are made in the image of God and we're spiritual beings and there's a God in heaven that wants to connect to who we are. God reaches out in this Christmas story to say, "I do want to connect to you. I do care about you. And I have something to say to you." And so these wise men are seeking God, knowing that God has led them. And what God had done in the past in the sky, they knew that because God was there, that God was going to lead them, that God was going to speak to them. And they have such a teachable spirit, a willing spirit to learn, a willing spirit to lay aside their knowledge. I mean, these were teachers. They were men who had studied probably many disciplines, astronomy being one, astrology, maybe medicine, maybe history, maybe religions, maybe philosophy, but these were thought to be very learned people. They knew a lot, but yet they're willing to set that down and say, "God, you have something new to teach me, to say to me." And how important it is for us to have an attitude of freshness and newness with the story. Even with the Christmas story, as we come to it, and we've heard it many, many, many times, but once again to say tonight, "God, what do you say to me in the Christmas story tonight? What is it that speaks to my heart about your love, about the relationship that you want to have with me, about your amazing, incredible hand throughout history, from the beginning of creation all the way to the end of time, and when we pass into eternity, when every one of us come to that doorway, when we pass into eternity, to know that there's the Creator God who cares about your life, who cares about your soul, and all of the Christmas story is so that we can be connected to that amazing and that loving God." Tonight, to say to you that there's a God in heaven who cares deeply about your life and where you're at and where you're headed, and he loves you so much. And he gave Jesus as his gift, as his only begotten Son, John says, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They are teachable. They are seeking. Also, these wise men were so determined. They were determined. I mean, you would have to be to take the journey that they must have taken, to go so far, to prepare so much, to deal with all the obstacles that would have been in their way. But they were persistent, and they did not stop until they heard that voice of the promised child. They did not stop till they came to the house where the family was in that Bethlehem area, and until they finally came and they found the one that they were seeking. Say to each one of us tonight, don't stop short of finding God's voice and God's spirit and God's will and God's direction in your life. And don't stop short of coming to that place of knowing who Jesus is and why he came. He came not just to be a beautiful story, and it is a beautiful story, but he came to make a difference in your life. They were led by this incredible hand of God, this incredible star. They knew it was from God, and they followed it. We're also told here that even in the star, their reaction to it's pretty amazing. They were overjoyed at the star when they saw it. and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they saw the sign of God, when they had that incredible event in the sky that took place, when they got to that place, they knew they were close. Something was there, amazing, incredible. They were just about to get their eyes on and their hands on the incredible gift of Jesus. Each of us that come tonight to worship him, each of us that come to this place in this service have an opportunity. We come to that place where the star is, and we too can look down and think about and see this incredible promise of God, his presence, his promise. And when they found the babe, it says they fell down, they bowed down and worshiped him. Something about Jesus, even as a baby, incredibly got their hearts and their affection and their attention. They were wise. Oh, they were wise because they understood more than we could almost imagine they could. They understood how precious Jesus was. There's such an example to us today of how precious Jesus is. He was as a baby in the story. But Jesus is so precious to our lives, to our world, to the needs of mankind, to the answers of the problems and the hurt and the pain and the sin and the brokenness of our world. Jesus is the incredible answer. Faith in Jesus is incredible and amazing. And when they found the baby Jesus, they bowed down and they worshiped him. They worshiped, taking in all that they had seen and experienced. That moment when they found him, they bowed down. Simply, they worshiped him. Imagine what came out of their hearts, came out of their spirits as they imagined who this child was. And somehow God had given this insight into the king and who Jesus would be. But imagine as they bow down and worship comes from their hearts and their lips and their spirits and their minds and all those months of travel and all the study in the sky and all those things that they came and they bowed down and they worshiped. And each one of us too have that opportunity to come and to bow down and to worship Jesus for who he is. We are privileged tonight to come and to worship that precious, precious, precious child that these wise men spent months to find, months to think about, months to see. And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. Just imagine that, how they brought their best, the very best they had. They apparently were wealthy. It would certainly seem from everything we know in the story how wealthy they were, how intelligent they were, and they opened up from what they had and they gave from their hearts. Not only were they blessed by God, but then they blessed Mary and Joseph and the baby. Likely in the next part of the story is they rise up in the middle of the night because of the dream that the angel gives to Joseph to flee to Egypt because Herod, this crazy, jealous king who is in such contrast to the wise men. Here is this king full of pride, full of self, full of all about me. And on the other side, you have these wise men who are bowing down and giving all and worshiping him. They found great joy, it says. They found great fulfillment because they were seeking God. And they believed God. Not only did they hear about God, but when they got there, they believed in him. They put their trust in him, their faith in him. And we too can put our faith in that Jesus. They worshiped him. Jesus is a treasure. Tonight we have this great opportunity in these minutes together to treasure who Jesus is and to slow down from what Christmas is often around us. And give Jesus the glory and the honor that he is due and he is worthy of. Knowing who he is the most important knowledge the wise men could have. And believing in him is the most important decision you can make in your life. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that believing in him, you have life in his name. Nothing is more important on Christmas Eve or any other day than to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to believe that he is who he claimed he is. And what the story tells us and the scriptures tells us, to believe in him. Believing is so important. Give him your heart, your faith, your best. Give to Jesus your life. Give to Jesus yourself to say, Jesus, I want to follow you and serve you. And I want you to be a part of my life.